was waiting for them to pop up like popcorn, but they can kind of slow today, hey. So I want you to stand to your feet and turn with me in your Bibles to the book of the Gospel of St. John, and then we're going to read another verse in the epistle of 1 John. So we're going to read first in the Gospel of St. John, chapter number 14. I invite your attention there first. The fourth gospel, the Gospel of St. John, chapter number 14. Amen. Amen. Starting in verse number 15, say amen, you've located the text. The Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse number 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer, the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you also live. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Skip down to verse number 26. The Bible says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, but I give you. Let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And then skip over with me to the epistle of 1 John towards the end of your New Testament, just before the book of Revelation. You will find 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. I want to read two more verses out of the second chapter of 1st John. The 1st John, chapter 2, verse 1 says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the whole world. Here ends the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May it edify and may it sanctify the people of God. I would that you pray with me on the title of this sermon, Paraclete Power on Pentecost. Amen. Paraclete Power on Pentecost. We're going to define what paraclete is in the sermon. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I pray now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be acceptable in your eyesight, O Lord. You're our strength. And Lord, we know that you're our Redeemer. We simply ask now that you will continue to move and abide in this sanctuary, that all of us who claim to know you, and maybe those who don't yet know you, that we may come to know you in a deeper way because of this experience. Have your way, God, and we shall be careful to give your name the glory, the praise, and the honor. For you alone are worthy to be praised. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name we do pray it. Let the saints of God say, amen, amen, and amen. Won't you take your seat? Ushers, you may take your seat as well. For the next 25 or so minutes, I want to talk to you about the liturgical celebration of Pentecost. I want to talk to you about the liturgical celebration of Pentecost. Pentecost, as I've written in your bulletin today, is one of several key liturgical celebrations throughout the liturgical year. And when I say liturgical year, I'm referring to the actual beginning of Advent that runs through the season of Lent that then moves into what we call the Sundays of Pentecost and then into what we call the general season throughout the rest of the year, leading again into Advent. And so if you were to break the year down, Advent starts the four Sundays before Christmas. Usually it's the last Sunday in November, or maybe in some cases, depending on how Christmas falls, it's the first Sunday in December. So those four Sundays are called Advent Sundays. And then after Christmas celebration, we move into what's called Epiphany Sundays. Sundays, some Christian denominations around the world celebrate Christmas, and they call it Epiphany. And it goes through January the 6th. But whatever season you, whatever particular Christian denomination you may find yourself in, between Advent and Epiphany, we celebrate the birth of Christ. And then after that, we would then shortly move into the season of Lent, which begins with Ash Wednesday. And so we go from Advent to Epiphany to Lent and to Holy Week. And then from Holy Week, we culminate on Resurrection Sunday as the highest day of the liturgical year. And then after Resurrection Sunday, some of us may not know, but there is still yet another high holy day within our Judeo-Christian framework, and that is called Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday is usually towards the end of May or beginning of June, and it is the season or the day in which we celebrate the birth of the church and the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so this season, and after Pentecost, we then move into what's called the general Sundays, which literally go from the rest of the year, June, into the end of November, and we start all over again on the cyclical liturgical calendar year. So unlike the calendar year, which is January through November through December, the liturgical year really begins the end of November, beginning of December, and runs through another cycle through the end of October, the end of November, beginning of December. And so the day of Pentecost that we are celebrating today is Pentecost. I just want you to reach over to someone. Like we say Merry Christmas, like we say Happy Resurrection Sunday, I want you to reach over to your neighbor and say, neighbor, Happy Pentecost Sunday. Just go ahead and reach over, shake their hand, let them know, give them a smile, and say, Happy Pentecost Sunday. Because we in the Christian church must never fail to celebrate the day of Pentecost. Just like we celebrate Christmas, and just like we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, notice I don't say Easter, I say Resurrection Sunday. We should too celebrate and remember Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday is when we celebrate the third person of the Trinity, that is the Holy Ghost. And we ought to celebrate the Holy Spirit, because without the Holy Spirit, we would not be able to make it from day to day. How many of you know that if the Holy Spirit wasn't indwelling you right now, you wouldn't even be where you are right now? If the Holy Spirit had not comforted you in your pain, helped you in your challenges, led you through your wilderness, you would not be where you are right now. So Christians ought never to forget God, the Holy Spirit. Why do I say that? Because it is a Sunday in which we also get a chance to highlight the teachings of the Trinity. The Trinity is our understanding in Orthodox Christianity, within which is what we believe in. Orthodox Christianity, which is what the great majority of Christian denominations believe. Presbyterians are Orthodox Christians. Most Methodists, most Presbyterians, most Baptists, most Episcopalians, most AME Zionites, you name the denomination, most would consider themselves Orthodox Christians, and at the root of being an Orthodox Christian is the belief in the Trinity, the triune God, God the Father, got the Son, and got the Holy Spirit. We believe that because Jesus says in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, go make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. And so therefore, we take the Trinity, now though it is not mentioned in the Bible by name, the inference, the implication, the intimation is that God chose to reveal God's self through three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We know about the Father because we believe that at the beginning of time, God the Father created the heavens and the earth. We know about the God the Son because we believe that when we were dead in our sins, that Jesus died on the cross that we may have the gift of everlasting life. But we have to know more about God the Holy Ghost because some of us think the Holy Spirit is an it and not a person. So the first thing you need to know about the Holy Ghost is the Holy Spirit is a person that you can grieve. You can cause concern about how you live your life, can cause grief and concern to the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Spirit isn't an it, a force that comes upon you. No, we believe in Orthodox Christianity that the Holy Spirit is a person. And not only is he a person, we believe that he is the third person of the Godhead, the Trinity. And so therefore, if you encounter someone who says they're a Christian, but they reject the Trinity, you don't need to get into a debate with them, but all you need to do is be able to know that they are not orthodox and you are orthodox in your faith and in your understanding of the Christian doctrine. And so therefore, knowing more about the Holy Spirit will empower us to walk in the Spirit. There's a Bible verse that says, if you live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. You cannot live in the Spirit and not know about the Holy Spirit. Because the question then becomes, what Spirit are you living in? You do know there's a whole bunch of spirits out there. And so we need to be mindful of what Spirit we're living in, we're walking in, we're claiming. And we, the people of God within this Christian church, must claim that we are bold and audacious believers in God the Holy Spirit. How many of you know that the Holy Ghost is not just relegated to the holiness churches? Amen, someone. A lot of us think that Holy Spirit only is mentioned in Pentecost churches or Pentecostal churches or mentioned in holiness churches or mentioned in Church of God in Christ churches. But I'm here to tell you, if you're Episcopal, you better have the Holy Spirit. If you're Lutheran, you better have the Holy Spirit. If you're Baptist, if you're Methodist, if you're Lutheran, if you're Anglican, if you're Catholic, you better have the Holy Spirit because God the Father sent God the Holy Spirit. Spirit, that we may be guided into the truth of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Without the Holy Ghost, we are imperiled to not fulfill that which God wants us to fulfill. So I want to take a pause today and just talk to you about Pentecost Sunday and about God the Holy Spirit and what we understand about God the Holy Spirit, God, the third person of the Trinity. These three words come to mind in this text as I was ruminating and praying over. Number one is the word alone. Number two is the word accuser. And the number three is the word advocacy. And why do I say alone? Because in the Bible, there is clear evidence that Jesus, when he was getting ready to go to heaven, wanted to make sure that his disciples knew that they would not be alone. For after all, when you've walked with the master of the universe, the God in the flesh, when you've walked with him for 33 years, then you begin to wonder, what am I going to do if he's no longer here? See, Peter, James, and John, the sons of Zebedee and other believers, they came to accept that Jesus was the Christ. In point of fact, John, the writer of this gospel, wants us to know that Jesus was the Christ. He didn't want us to get any mistake that Jesus is the Messiah. The fulfillment of the scriptures. He is the anointed one. He is the one that was talked about in Isaiah. For behold, a virgin shall conceive, and she shall bear a child, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And that statement is so very important. Because although James and John may have, the brothers, sons of Zebedee may have wondered what they were going to do if Jesus wasn't there. Some of us may go throughout our lives also wondering, what am I going to do if Jesus isn't there? And I want you to know that Jesus is not here in the flesh anymore. Jesus has stepped on a cloud and I believe is seated at the right hand of the throne of God right now. But that the Bible says he's coming back again. And here's the question, that if he's not here now, but he's coming back again, then who is here right now with me and with you to help us walk through this earth, this pilgrim land, this sojourn that we have? And I would declare that God has sent the Holy Spirit that we might have the assurance that we are not by ourselves. That no matter how big the mountain looks, God is with us. No matter how wide the river is, God is with us. No matter how heavy the burden is, God will help us bear it. No matter how many enemies are surrounding us, God will help fight our battles. Do I have a witness here today? Does everybody understand that you are not by yourself? That you have God with you? He's around you. He's above you. He's next to you. He's underneath you. He's inside of you. So this question, what do I do if God is not with me? The first thing we must understand is God is always with you. That's why his name is Emmanuel, God with us. And so when Jesus says in Matthew 28, verse number 20, go make disciples, baptize them. He says at the end of the text, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And I don't know about you, but sometimes in my humanness, I slip into moments where I feel like I'm alone, where I feel like I'm by myself, where I feel like nobody hears what I'm trying to say, where I feel like nobody cares what's going on in my little world, when I feel like I'm under attack and nobody's going to come to my rescue. Truth be told, you don't have to raise your hand, but all of us have been in moments and experiences in our lives where we felt we were by ourselves, we were alone, our enemies were no, our friends were nowhere to be found, our family, for whatever reason, were no longer there, or maybe it is moments when your mother, who was always by your side, has taken her last breath and breathed her last, and she is no longer there. Now you've got to walk by yourself when mama was always right by your side. Or some of you had daddy, had a good daddy in your lives, but for whatever reason, daddy is no longer there. I want to remind you what the psalm writer says in Psalm 27:10, that when your mother and your father leave you, that God will take care of you. Do I have a witness here today that if you've got your mom and your daddy, you better keep giving God praise? But there may come a day when mama and daddy are no longer there, and you've got to know that God is right by your side. I just got a call last night from Yvonne Harris Johnson and Carolyn McMahon and Donnie Johnson and Frida Johnson and Yolanda Harris and Napoleon Harris and all of their family saying, Pastor, Mama took her last breath. We sent her to hospice on Monday. She died on Saturday. Looking at Napoleon and his wife, Nicole, and I'm feeling their pain. Because until you've been there, you don't know what it means to walk through the valley of the shadows of death when your mama who was there is no longer there. And there are moments when you may feel that you're going to be by yourself. And that's when I need you to dig deep down inside to remind yourself of the name of Almighty God, that God said, I'll never leave you. Harry Napoleon, I'll never forsake you. Nicole, I'll be right there with you. Whomever you are, whatever you've gone through, you may have lost your job, may have lost your best friend, your spouse may have died, your mother, father may have breathed their last, but I need someone to stand on the promises of God and know that God is true to his word. He will never leave you. And when I felt like I was by myself, that's when he picked me up, turned me around, and reminded me that he is God with me. This whole text, John 14, is about the disciples of Jesus feeling like they're about to be abandoned. What are we going to do without Jesus? And so verse 14, chapter 14, verse 1 says, let not your heart be troubled, nor be afraid. For if you believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you, and I'm going to prepare a place that where I go, you can go, and I will come again and receive you to myself. It's almost like Jesus is warning them, giving them not just a premonition of his death, but giving him a statement of the fact that he's no longer going to be here. And I've walked with you 3 years. I've walked with you. I've helped you to get through your trials and your tribulations. But I need you now to graduate to the next level. You come too comfortable with me with you. I need you to now to learn how to live without me. I need you to grow up a little bit. I need you to graduate a little bit. I'm not going to be here always. I'm about to leave you. But understand, because I'm not here in the flesh doesn't mean I'm not here in the spirit. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. Think about the text. Pentecost Sunday is the fulfillment of Jesus' promise that he's never going to leave us. You do know what Pentecost is in the Bible. In the book of Acts chapter 1, Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit blows into the upper room, where the disciples are now gathered, waiting. All they knew was that they were supposed to gather in the upper room, because Jesus is now dead. He rose again from the dead. He then went into heaven, and now they're wondering, what else do we do? What next? And so they were told to wait. And the Bible says when the day of Pentecost had fully come, there blew in a mighty rushing wind, and tongues of fire set on top of the heads of the people. They began to speak in a tongue that was not theirs. Understand, this is not heavenly language where they speak in glossalia. This is literally another language. If they were Greek, they were speaking Italian. If they were Italian, they were speaking Spanish. If they were speaking somewhere Spanish, they were speaking another dialect, another language. Because when the Holy Ghost comes in, he gives you power to do things you would not ordinarily know how to do. Y'all didn't hear me on that, did you? That when the Holy Spirit shows up, he'll give you the power to do things you ordinarily could not do by yourself. Has anybody can think of an experience where you tried to do something by yourself, but when you gave it over to God, that's when God opened the door? When you gave it over to God, that's when you were able to step out of your comfort zone. When you gave it over to God, that's when you were able to get over the mountain, through the valley, out of the situation, out of the predicament, out of the trap of the enemy, out of your trials, out of your tribulations. You didn't do it by yourself. The Holy Ghost gave you power. Remember what I preached last week? The angel Gabriel came to Mary and said, blessed are you among women, Mary. You shall conceive and bring a child. How can I do this? She says, when the power of the Spirit comes upon you, then you'll be able to do it. And I want you to know today that once we are saved, some might say that's being justified. Man, being just as if I'd never sinned. God gives you a clean slate. Justification gives way to sanctification. And after sanctification is something called perfection. Perfection is when you get to heaven. So if perfection, if justification is when I got saved, an event, and when perfection is another event, when I get to heaven, then everything in between is called sanctification. Somebody say, I'm being sanctified. Because when you are being sanctified, you are being made into the image of God. You're being transformed. Your walk begins to be a little different. Your language changes. Your way you look changes. The way you dress changes. I know you may have started here, but as you are being sanctified, you're being conformed into the image of God. You're being made more like God. If you let God have God's way, you will begin to shed some of those old ways, shed some of those old thoughts, shed some of those old thought thinking, some of the way you used to think. God will begin to change. And it is in that process of sanctification that the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, does his work. So when Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you, he goes on to talk about my next point, which is the accuser will come. But understand, you're not alone by yourself. Now I want you to look at the text. It says in verse number 16 that, and I will pray the Father that he will give you another helper. Now here's the point. I need you to work with me on this. Because that word helper is actually in Greek, Koine Greek, the Greek, the original language that the Bible was written in, the New Testament was written in, is actually called paraclete. And so that word paraclete is the name that is used in reference to helper. And it is usually used in reference to the Holy Spirit. But in this case, Jesus says something interesting. He says, I will pray to my Father and ask him to give you another helper. That would presume that you've already had one helper, because now I'm about to ask God the Father to give you another helper. But he goes on to say in that same verse, about the next verse, he says, and I will pray the Father that he will give you another helper. And he says in verse 17, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. Who is the Spirit of truth? We believe that the Spirit of truth is the Holy Ghost. Look at verse number 26. It gives us a little bit more understanding about who the Spirit of truth is, who this helper is. The Bible says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. I need someone to stop right there, because that is the work of the person of the Holy Spirit, to teach you the things that Jesus taught you, or to help you better understand the things that Jesus taught you, and to bring back to your remembrance the things that Jesus taught you. How many of you have ever had an experience where you knew something was in the Word of God, you didn't quite know where it was, but there was something that was specific to the circumstance you were now dealing with, and you were trying to remember what verse and what chapter it was, and for some reason you couldn't get it, but when you needed it, something clicked and triggered, and you were able to go to, if not the chapter or the verse, at least the chapter, and say, the Word of God reminds me in this situation that I'm to be anxious for nothing but by all prayer and supplication with thanksgiving to let my request be made known unto God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard my heart and guard my mind in Christ Jesus. For those of you who can't remember the verse, help me, Holy Ghost. It was Philippians chapter 4, verse number 6 and verse number 7. I don't know about you, but when you're doing battle against the devil, you need to bring the Word of God back to your remembrance, because the Word of God is not going to, I mean, the devil's not going to be afraid of how good you look.
The devil's not going to be afraid of how many degrees you have behind your name. The devil's not going to be messed up by how many people you know in the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. The devil's not going to run away because you got so much money in your bank account. The only thing the devil's going to run away from is when you cite the Word of God. It says in the Word of God that I am more than a conqueror. It says in the Word of God that I have power over my enemies. It says in the Word of God that God will fight my battles and take care of my enemies. It says in the Word of God that He will put my enemies under my feet and I can use them as my stepping stool. Does anybody have understanding about what God's Word is all about?
You cannot fight the enemy if you don't know the Word of God. And there are moments when you need to rely not on your own self, but on the power of the Holy Spirit to bring back to your remembrance the things that Jesus taught His disciples and taught us. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. It says it in verse 26, to help us. And so in one translation, the word helper is a very generic form of the reference of the Holy Spirit, to come to your aid, to comfort you. We often think of the Holy Spirit as the comforter. Some folk even say that this is where the Holy Spirit might have more maternal or feminine qualities. I'm not going to get into the sex of the Holy Spirit, but all I want to say is I believe the Holy Spirit is a person. And so whether the Holy Spirit is a caring, nurturing, concerned individual that knows when the people of God are broken and hurting, and the Holy Spirit comes to help me in my time of my emotional need, thank God that I've got somebody who's there to help lift me up when I'm sad and when I'm broken. Or whether your vision of the Holy Spirit is this great mighty warrior who fights your battles and defends you, there's room to understand that the Holy Spirit does all those things. But here's what the Spirit does. He was sent to help us. And I'm glad today that when I am in need of help, I can call on God, the Holy Ghost, who gives me the help that I need. I'm not advocating that we need to be eunuchs and isolate ourselves and just rely on God, the Holy Spirit, and don't connect with other people. No, because the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. You're supposed to come together in worship and fellowship with your other brothers and sisters. That's good. But sometimes folk might get on your last nerve. I'm just saying. Sometimes folk in the church don't always act like the church is in them. I'm just saying. Sometimes people you're supposed to depend on as your prayer warriors are not only they're not praying for you, they're causing your downfall and your defeat. That's when you know if all else fails, I've got an ace, I got a ram in the bush. The Holy Ghost is my helper. I will not be by myself. If everybody leaves me tomorrow, I've got somebody who can help me get through my trials and my tribulations. There is a reason the Holy Spirit is called a helper. But here's the part I want to transition to and get to this point about the accuser. The enemy, as I've said, the devil. His job is to accuse. In point of fact, Revelation 18, I believe it's Revelation 18, put the Revelation text up there, 12. Says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brothers is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. whether you realize it or not, there is someone who is accusing you. There is someone who's trying to plan your downfall and plot your destruction. It's called the devil. He's come to kill, steal, and destroy. But one of his assignments is to accuse you. And so if you know anything about accusations, accusations don't have to be true. All you've got to do is have somebody level an accusation by inference or intimation, and there goes your name and your character. But I'm so glad today that when there is an accuser who's accusing me of my name, out of my name, I've got a help and an advocate. That's what brings me to my third point. Because there is an accuser, you've got to have an advocate. And here's where this word paraclete takes another form. Advocate is actually a legal word. Paraclete is a legal word. You know what it means in Greek? It means one who is positioned by me to call out on my behalf. It is from the root word parakaleo. Para, like paragraph, paralegal, is someone who is just under or just next to. A paralegal is the one just under the lawyer and who does a lot of the work for the lawyer. A paraprofessional is someone who's just under the professional, who does the work of a professional but may not have the same title as the professional. So the para is then coupled up with the kaleo. The word kaleo means to call out on somebody's behalf. So when you melt them up, you've got parakaleo, which means someone who calls out on my behalf. The paraclete is someone who calls out on my behalf. Some of y'all still not getting this? Let me say it this way. That when you are in a court of legality and there is a prosecutor who's accusing you of a crime, you better hire for yourself a defense attorney who can defend you against the accusations that are coming against your character. Has anybody ever been to court? You don't have to really raise your hand and tell me what you've been to court for, but if anybody's ever been to court, you have had accusations levied against you. And how many of you know the worst thing you can do when you go to court is try to defend yourself? You better hire a lawyer. Rob Ross, sitting in the pulpit, is a well-qualified lawyer. He does something called catastrophic law, which is a whole specialized entity of the legal jurisprudence. But no matter what kind of lawyer, you better have somebody who can defend you when accusations are coming up against you. When I was growing up, I used to call it, you better have some backup. When you're about to get into an issue, a fight, you better have someone who can help you. And so in this case, when the accusation is coming against me, I've got to hire a lawyer. The defense attorney, another word for defense attorney in many respects is paraclete. The paraclete is one who stands by my side and calls out on my behalf. And I'm so glad today that when the devil is accusing me, I've got someone from the law firm of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost comes to my rescue, stands right next to me, and calls out to the righteous judge, the Father. He says, Father, I know what the devil is accusing Armstrong of, but I'm standing on his behalf. I'm calling out on his behalf. I am his lawyer. I am his advocate. The word paraclete means advocate. Someone who calls out on my behalf. And when I think about that, I'm grateful to the ministry of not just the Holy Spirit. Here's why I just need to do a little bit more teaching. We have an advocate in Jesus, and we have an advocate in the Holy Spirit. Why do I say that? Because 1 John, this is where we go to the next verse. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 says it this way. Children, I write these things that you may not sin. And if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father. The word advocate is in the text. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And so Jesus is really our first advocate.
our first paraclete, our first defense attorney. Because truth be told, when we sin, we like to blame other folk for our sins. But truth be told, we probably deserve the punishment because of what we did or did not do. But I'm grateful today that God loves me so much that he set this whole thing up. That when I fall short in my sin and I fall on my knees and ask for forgiveness, that there is a father who is listening to his son, Jesus, right now up in heaven saying, Father, give them another chance. Father, wipe their slate clean. Father, look beyond their faults and see their needs. Father, open the door for them. Father, does anybody understand the benefit of having Jesus as your advocate talking to his father on my behalf? I could have been dead and gone, but Jesus is up there right now advocating for me.
Here's where the two verses come together. 1 John and St. John. If we accept that Jesus is already an advocate, he was here on earth advocating, he's now in heaven advocating, then the question is, when Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse number 17, I will send you another advocate. I will send you another helper. I will send you someone who will also be here to help you while I'm there up there helping you. And so the other advocate is God the Holy Spirit. And I say that because we don't want to confuse that the paraclete is just about the Holy Ghost. But the paraclete, the Pentecost help that comes our way because of the Spirit, the work of the Spirit, is here because he not only is here to help us, but here's the difference of what the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament did and what the Holy Spirit in the New Testament does. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit came upon good men in the old days. Came upon good women. The Spirit came upon David and he defeated Goliath. The Spirit came upon Elijah and Elisha. The Spirit came upon Samuel and he was able to break down the walls of the temple. In the Old Testament, the Spirit comes upon, but in the New Testament, the Spirit comes inside. And that's why the Bible says, I'm not going to leave you by yourself. I'm going to send another helper who will come, and he not only will be with you by your side, but he's going to be inside of you, giving you what you need when you need it. And that's the point I want to leave with you today, that the Holy Ghost is not just by my side, but the Holy Ghost is also inside. And how many of you know that if the Holy Ghost is inside, there's something on the inside working on the outside? Oh, what a change in my life. It's not just about the power that comes upon me from without. It's also about the power that comes from within. The Holy Ghost is indwelt each of us who open ourselves to him. And so on this Pentecost Sunday, I want to leave you with this understanding of the advocate who stands at our defense against an accuser, but who also lives within us. And I don't know about you, but I'm grateful today that the Holy Spirit lives inside. Have anybody who can just thank God for the fact that when you didn't know how you were going to make it, God the Holy Ghost living on the inside was able to lead and steer you in the right direction. Anybody had ever had an experience where you were able to look back and said, man, if I would have gone right, I would have fallen off that cliff. But something on the inside steered me to the left. And I'm so glad today that God the Holy Ghost is still steering me. God the Holy Ghost is still directing me. God the Holy Ghost is still telling me to stop and hold on, because if I listened to myself, I would have messed up a long time ago. But thank God that I've got an advocate. Thank God I've got a spirit. Thank God I've got somebody on the inside that is directing me.
towards a way that is everlasting. Man, I can think of a lot of times that if I had listened to myself, I would have been messed up. That's why you need to say, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when you allow your mind and your heart to be transformed, open yourself to the Holy Spirit. Then God, greater is the God inside of you than the devil that's out there in the world. Somebody say, thank God for the paraclete, for the helper, the comforter, the guider into all truth. Thank God. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Let the church say amen. Everybody standing to their feet. Everybody standing to their feet. Deacons and deaconess, help me extend the invitation to discipleship. I want to offer someone the opportunity to respond to the Word of God. If you're here and you've never made a personal decision for Christ, then I want you to ask yourself, is this the day where I need to make a decision? I need to choose the power of the Holy Ghost. I need to choose Jesus. And when I choose Jesus, I am then opening myself for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in my life. And so whomever you are and whatever you've been through, I want you to choose Jesus today. Really want you to let go and let God have God's way in your life. And so the choir is going to sing. Go ahead and sing, men. And as they sing, if you're here and you want to give us your hand and give God your heart, come on down. Come on down the aisle. If you want to join our church, you've already accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I want to invite you to come do that now too, because you can join the church and continue your journey into growth and maturation in the Lord Jesus. So whomever you are and wherever you are, just let God have God's way in the name of Jesus. New life. Oh, come. Come on. To Christ. Thank you, Lord. Won't you just bow your heads with me? Let's pray together. Father, I ask now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be acceptable in your sight. That these words that have gone forth, that they may touch someone. That person, that man, that woman, that boy, that girl would come to accept Jesus. And that day, today, would be the day of the Lord. The day that you have made in somebody's life. And so if they're here today, God, cause them to come on out and make this new decision to leave their past and walk into their future. We ask this in Jesus' name. Let the church say, amen. We're going to sing it one more time. Come on.
Come on.
To Christ. Stay right there, choir. To Christ. To Christ. And we just want to keep extending this so that folk know that we're not talking about coming to the preacher or coming to the person. We're talking about coming to Christ. So if you're here today and you want to come to Christ, just come on out of your seat. In the name of Jesus. To Christ. Thank you, Lord. To Christ, to Christ, to Christ. To Christ, to Christ. You may be seated. God bless you. Keep singing, man. To Christ. Oh, to Christ. Thank you, Lord. To Christ. To Christ. Put your hands together and give the Lord a praise offering. We thank the Lord for an opportunity to cast the net and to invite folk to come to Christ. You don't have to do this publicly. You can do it privately. And so if you need to talk to someone about your walk,
or about Jesus in your life, feel free to grab one of these men or women that they may come to know, that they may share with you the life-changing understanding of Jesus as our Christ. All right, God bless you. Deacons, deaconess,